Today with Joseph Prince.
There's a fine line between worn down because you're tired and relaxed. Are you doing things when Pastor Prince teaches on rest, for example, and say, yeah, I'm just worn down. No, worn down is not rest. Jesus said to those who are worn down, come to me, all you who are weary, worn down, and I will give you rest. Rest is empowerment.
The reason why no evil befalls you, the reason why no plague comes near your family is because He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
Get your copy of Activate Your Angels, Experiencing Divine Protection as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry today. In this two-sermon audio series, discover how you can live unafraid. See how God wants you to leave home every day confident that you are completely protected. Request your copy today, and you will also receive a free bonus 2020 wall calendar. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive this exclusively curated gift set that includes an essential Bible study kit, as well as Joseph's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health. Get ready to dive deeper into the Word with Joseph in this exciting revelation-packed study kit. This kit includes many valuable resources that will help you access, apply, and activate God's 24/7 protection. Start each day anchored in God's promises of protection for you and your loved ones. Don't miss this limited time offer. Get your copy now at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-769-5433.
Here we have a beautiful truth in Deuteronomy 25. It tells us this in verse 1 to 3. If there be a controversy between men and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous, the judges will, and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above this with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. Now, this is a Jewish law. A lot of things are different between the Jewish law in terms of scourging compared to the Roman flagellum. The Roman scourging is different from the Jewish one. Notice the Jewish one, the man will lie down on the ground, and then they will beat him. And when they beat him, they don't beat him with a cat or nine tails. They call it cat or nine tails, the flagellum. Okay, it is a handle that you hold that the Roman flagellum. The Roman flagellum is like an octopus, you know. And with every strand, there is hook, rusty hooks, and then there's crushed bone, and there's metal beads, and all that. And that's only one strand. So when one strand hits you, it's painful enough. But when the entire strand grabs your back, it gets embedded into your flesh. And then when they jerk, all the flesh is ripped off. Are you with me so far? All right? That's what the Roman flagellum is all about. They found it, and they found it. The Romans also is 40 times. So that's what Jesus went through, and 40 times, right, the lashes came behind it. And don't forget, one lash causes the flagellum to all the stripe. It's not just one stripe. It is many stripes. That's one stroke. Can you understand? And by His stripes, we are healed. Isaiah 53. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. God is healing people even now. Praise God. With His stripes, we are healed. Now, this is very interesting because when it's transferred to the New Testament, the Apostle Peter, who was crying, all right, from afar, he saw the flagellum. He saw the beating. He wrote this from Isaiah in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2. It says here, who his own self, referring to Jesus, his own self. I love this term, his own self. In the old King James, himself, who is own self, himself took our infirmities. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Himself, who gave himself for our sins. Amen. It was himself, people. It wasn't one of his gifts. He gave himself. Who gave his own self, who his own self bare our sins, where? In his own body, not in his spirit, in his own body on the tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, stripe there, malops in the Greek, is in singular. Stripes should be plural. Like Isaiah is actually plural. With his stripes Isaiah is kavura. All right? Kavura. The plural, kaburot. All right? By his many stripes, we are healed. But in the New Testament, it says by his single stripe, we are healed. So why is it with his stripes? Sometimes the Jewish people use the word stripes to describe something violent, something great. They use the plural, right? But over here, you cannot say that because here it is Greek. Greek is very exact, unless they are using Hebraism, okay? But it's not Hebraism. So why did he say with his stripe, singular, with his stripe? Now listen carefully. A Greek scholar by the name of T.J. McCrossan, many years ago, actually saw the problem. He said this, if the back of our Lord Jesus was beaten, was scourged in such a way that there was a sliver of skin left, there was even a sliver of skin, all right? The writer, through the Holy Spirit, cannot use the word singular, stripe. But because there was not even a layer or even a sliver of skin left, it just completely lacerated the back. There's no skin left. Then you can use the word stripe singular because it's one whole big hole. You don't say one big holes. It's just one big laceration at the back. Are you with me so far? See what our Lord went through for our suffering. He said, Pastor Prince, 40 times, how in the world can you get one big laceration? So for your sake, for those of you who asked that question just now, I have prepared something for you all to see. Okay, watch this. We're just speeding up here. And only 20 now, halfway through. And this covers the front. You cannot just estimate the back. It will probably hit the front as well, the face. 38, 39, 40. With his stripe, we are healed. With his stripe, we are healed. Okay, go back to Isaiah 53, verse 4. 53, verse 4. Surely, how many are glad he says surely? Surely he has borne our diseases. By the way, the word down there is diseases. So God knew that this would be a controversial issue, even with his people. He knew that people like Pastor Prince, when he preaches on this, there'll be those who say, that is a view that you have and all that, but it's not true in the original. No, don't argue with the original because the original says, surely. And the original here, griefs and sorrows, I want to say something here. I think Young's literal translation is very good for this. Surely he has borne our griefs, this is King James, and carried our sorrows. But the word here, griefs, is koli. And koli, I've even asked a gentleman, a Jewish man in Israel, asked him, what is koli? Straight away he says, disease, sickness. Until today, they use the word koli for sickness. Okay, there is a secondary word, grief. Okay, the word for carried our sorrows. The number one word is, the number one use of this word, the Hebrew word, by the way, is makof. Say makof. And number one use of it is pain. Pain. Now, secondary use, sorrow. But the problem with the King James translators here is that they put the secondary as the number one. They put the etymology as the first one. I'm going to show you Young's Literal Translation. Surely our sicknesses he has borne, and our pains he has carried them. Okay, remember I told you just now? Go back to Isaiah 53. It says that surely he has borne our diseases and carried our pains. Right? Am I right? But I did tell you the secondary use is the one the King James people use. They use the griefs and the sorrows, right? And they are right. Because when you study the word koli for griefs or disease, the word number one application is disease, you find that the root word there is actually the word koli comes from. Koli is a noun. It comes from kala. Kala. This is kala. Okay? Koli. This is how koli is spelled. It's sickness and grief. But it comes from the word kala. And kala is actually to be worn down in strength. Isn't that interesting? The root word of sickness is to be worn down in strength. Wow. When I saw this, and then you know how you are worn down in strength? You study further? Grief. The devil shoots you with something that grieves your heart. Something that makes you worried. Something that makes you anxious. It wears you down. How many of you know that there are days whereby you are anxious for a lot of things and you find yourself getting very tired? All right? So, the word is worn down. The devil doesn't, it's like a drip, drip, drip. He doesn't use dynamite to blow up the huge piece of rock. He just drip, water, drip, drip, drip to wear you down. One of the works of the Antichrist in the last days, the spirit of Antichrist, is to wear out the saints of the Most High. Drip, drip. Now, it's very interesting. Are you worn down or are you relaxing? God wants you relaxing. By the way, the Hebrew word for heal, to heal, is the word rapha. Say rapha. You look at the root word for heal is the word rapha. Relax. Relax. Now, there's a fine line between worn down because you're tired and relax. Are you doing things when Pastor Prince teaches on rest, for example, and you say, yeah, I'm just worn down. No, worn down is not rest. Jesus said to those who are worn down, all come to me, all you who are weary, worn down, and I will give you rest. Rest is empowerment. Rest is replenishing. Okay, so go back to the word born our grief. So the word grief is there. It's there actually, but it's a secondary usage. It should not be used here in Isaiah 53. It should be surely he has borne our diseases. Okay, but the diseases come from being worn down. We're going for the root. Amen? Some of you don't even know when you started having this condition. Doctors tell me that you can be suffering from stress, the stress that you suffered 1 week ago, 2 weeks ago, when you handled something major, and you don't even know. Now the stress is showing up in your body. Now you have an anomaly in your heartbeat, you know, arrhythmia, whatever. You have a condition, and you don't understand why, but you were undergoing a stress period. You were worn down in strength. Now, we zero in. We're going to close that gate. We're going to close that door in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay. All right. The next one is carried our sorrows. It's like makof. Makof, again, the word should be what? Number one meaning pains. Pains that's caused by physical pain, not physical pains. Amen. But the secondary word, the etymology, come from the word sorrow. Okay, I want to tell you something here. All sorrow in the world is dangerous. It will kill. But by nature of the fact that we are in a fallen world, there is sorrow. And sorrow of the world works death. Even in the New Testament, Paul by the Holy Spirit says, only one sorrow is good, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. Now he's writing to Christians. So salvation here is not saved from hell. It's not saved from a life of without God. Salvation here must refer to health, wholeness, healing. So godly sorrow, in other words, if I say something that hurt you, and but you learn from it, that's godly sorrow. Now your mind changed. You have right believing now. You have right thinking, therefore right believing, therefore right living. And hopefully right results, amen. So the thing is this, repentance is change of mind, amen. Godly sorrow works, changing of your mind, that produces sozo, soteria, that produces wholeness, deliverance, health. Cool? It's not salvation, salvation as for sinners, okay? Because he's writing to Christians. But, and this salvation, this health, not to be regretted. Once you experience it, you won't regret it. He's telling you that. It produces this kind of changing of mind, godly sorrow. I may tell you things. I may tell you something you don't like when I counsel you. I'll tell you something you don't like, whatever it is. But if you learn from it, change your mind, amen, then you experience wholeness, emotional wholeness, mental wholeness. And then that wholeness is something you'll never regret. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Whoa. Do you hear that? Did you hear that? Sorrow of the world produces death. No wonder. What comes to your mind right now? You go to Israel, every time they have a feast day, they have a festival, they have a celebration, one of the first things they go to you and say, what do they say? Come up. Come on, bro. Sit down there for so long. Come. Shake hand. Amen. Hasameach. Right?
Yes.
Hasameach. You know what's Hasameach? That means it's not just congratulations. Be joyful. Be of good cheer. Be joyful. Like the word in Greek, kara, from charis, from grace. All right? Be joyful. Sameach. And Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You think God is joking? It's a medicine that's not chemical. There's no chemicals. It's a medicine that has no side effects. But watch this. A broken spirit? Whoa. A broken spirit dries your bones. And so many medical conditions are caused by bones that are dried up. Osteoporosis, yeah. Arthritis, all the I is inflammation. And there's no more moisture. What is growing old? Moisture gone already. So how is a spirit broken? How is a spirit broken? And there are told people, well, Pastor Prince, I have a merry heart. You know, in ancient Britain, when the king arrives back into the castle, the flag is always like half mast when he's out. He's not in residence, or there's no flag. Okay? Not half mast, no flag. But when the king is in residence, the flag is up. Pastor Prince, yeah, that's flag. But I'm telling you, don't go by my face. I have a merry heart. No, you cannot say you have a merry heart and it doesn't notify your face. Your face is the pole, all right, the flag. Okay? I will not believe that. You show me Bible. Okay, don't ever challenge me the Bible. All right, Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Hey, cheerful face, la. So what causes your spirit to be broken? He tells you also, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Just now we read a broken spirit, right? Now he tells you how the spirit is broken. Sorrow, makof, right? Surely he has borne our diseases, the sorrow. Here is etsef, which is another word for sorrow. The same principle. Now let's go back to the verse that we open up with. Deuteronomy 25. Start with verse 1. We started with this, right? Notice, if there be a controversy between men, they come to judgment, the judge may judge them, and they shall justify the righteous, condemn the wicked. It is the wicked that gets the beating, right? But then, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So who takes the place of the righteous now? You and I. Who takes the place of the wicked? Jesus and the cross, right? So who is justified by God? You and I. Am I right? Am I right now? My first question, are you taking the place of the righteous for you to enjoy what the beating and all is all about? Are you taking your place? Or are you taking the place, I'm guilty, I'm this and that? If you want the benefits of the stripe, you need to acknowledge that you are the righteous. Because Jesus acknowledged, all right, himself as, like, you know, identified with sin so that he'll take the stripes. You identify with the healing. With his stripes, we are healed. Are you with me so far? Okay. Many of you partake of the Lord's Supper, right? All right. I'll give you this last verse. And Ecclesiastes 9:7. Go eat your bread with joy. Eat, how you eat your bread? With joy. And many a times, okay, let's finish. And drink your wine with how? A merry heart. For God has already accepted your works. Amen. Let your head lack no ointment, and let your garments be white, and your head lack no oil. Live joyfully the wife whom you love. Now, the first part there, we all know it's communion in the context of the New Testament, right? And yet the communion is called what? Eucharist, Thanksgiving. How many times have you attended a communion service and it's very somber? It is very heavy. Search your heart. By the time you finish searching your heart, you don't want to take it. Amen. You're afraid, right? It's called Eucharist, Thanksgiving. It's joy. It's thanking the Lord. So eat your bread with and drink your wine with a merry heart. Amen. I think that's where we are missing it. That's why it's not flowing in people's lives, because they look at the communion as a very somber time. And it's like, we rejoice, praise the Lord. Joy is a flag flown, let it fly in the sky. Now it's time for communion. Amen. Eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. And then what? Your garment is always white. We know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Your head will lack no oil, no anointing. Amen. And you live joyfully with your spouse. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Rejoice. Amen. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He loved you, man. And for the joy set before him, he endured the scourging. No wonder he fell and he got up and fell again. All because he loved you. But he saw you. That's why he got up again. Amen. And he went all the way to the cross. He will not die until he's on that cross, because there's another payment on the cross. On the cross, he redeemed us from the curse. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. Can I have a good amen, people? Are you worn down in strength? Jesus says, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Amen. Praise the Lord.
The reason why no evil befalls you, the reason why no plague comes near your family, is because he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
Get your copy of Activate Your Angels, Experiencing Divine Protection, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry today. In this two-sermon audio series, discover how you can live unafraid. See how God wants you to leave home every day confident that you are completely protected. Request your copy today, and you will also receive a free bonus 2020 wall calendar. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive this exclusively curated gift set that includes an essential Bible study kit, as well as Joseph's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health. Get ready to dive deeper into the Word with Joseph in this exciting revelation-packed study kit. This kit includes many valuable resources that will help you access, apply, and activate God's 24/7 protection. Start each day anchored in God's promises of protection for you and your loved ones. Don't miss this limited time offer. Get your copy now at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-769-5433.
For centuries, man has tried to get healthier, get stronger, and live his best life by changing what he eats.
What if I told you there was an all-natural, plant-derived oil?
There is a food trend quietly sweeping the country, changing our outlook on what we eat.
But how can we tell truth from trend? In Joseph's latest book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, you'll discover how the Holy Communion releases the health-giving power of the Lord's finished work into your body every time you partake.
My friend, the world can offer diet plans and nutrition tips, and I'm all for eating well and exercising. But the Holy Communion is so much more than that. It's not just another diet plan. It is the very power of the Lord's finished work released into our bodies every time we partake. Ever since I started preaching strongly on the communion about 20 years ago, people from all over the world have written to me to share their healing testimonies. An elderly man suffering from Alzheimer's disease with no hope of recovery was completely healed. The Lord restored his mind to the Holy Communion, and his wife is overjoyed to have him back. Another brother wrote in to share that through the partaking of the communion, his youngest son, who had a 17-degree curve in his spine, was completely healed. Latest x-rays show no trace of the scoliosis he used to have, and his spine is now completely straight. These are just two of the many testimonies that I share in this book, including my own. I want to invite you on this journey. As you partake of the Holy Communion, I pray that you will experience the Lord's healing and restoration more and more. God bless you.
Joseph Prince's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, is now available. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit josephprince.org/newbook today.
So I've been a yo-yo dieter my whole life. I decided to put Joseph's teaching to the test and I thought, okay, I can't do this. I can't lose weight and I can't do it by myself. And I just, it was like I just went hands off. And I just walked out of it. I'm in peace and I'm such a different person. I'm so happy, I'm so content. And it's like, I'm excited on what's gonna happen next in my life.
My wife was pregnant. She developed cervical cancer. We decided we are not going to believe the doctor's report. We are going to believe the truth about what God says about us. So we began to worship Jesus and take communion at home. That same day, the symptoms began to diminish. And within 5 days, she was completely healed. I just want to thank you. Thank Pastor Joseph Prince for the message that he brings.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.